Hello, and we are back with yet another episode of the Kickback Pod. Is this episode seven? I think this is seven.
Episode seven, like David Beckham.
All right, right, of course. Man U legend. How do they do in the Champions League, by the way?
What, United this season? Yeah. They crashed out in the group stages.
Oh, okay,
but
man.
They're basically in the finals of the Europa League because they beat Roma 6-2 last Thursday.
In the semifinals.
So basically they're gonna win the whole thing.
Yep, of course. In case you guys don't already know, Fabian here is like a lifelong Man United supporter. Mm-hmm. So yep. don't ever talk smack about United around him.
Well, actually, it's funny because I just interviewed Sadio Mane from Liverpool last week.
No way.
Yeah, and you know, as a United fan, I was like, "Fuck! Like, I can't interview a Liverpool player." But he was a really, really nice guy, and like super, super relaxed. We did it over Zoom, obviously, because he's in a bubble and I'm in Germany. But yeah, it's always cool to interview like athletes and like, I guess, celebrities that are kind of down to earth and not like shitty, you know. And he was definitely down to earth and really cool.
So. Oh, that's pretty cool to hear. We should actually like maybe on another pod talk about the whole Super League thing.
Oh yeah, that would be like
that would take the whole pod, man.
It'd be like a 3-hour long podcast. But yeah, you know, maybe we'll get some new like football followers because of it.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, guys, welcome back. Thank you for listening once again. So as usual, of course, we're going to go through our latest pickups. And this time we're also going to do something a little different. We're going to be starting a new series here on the pod. And we're going to call it, the Classics. Or do we have a better name for it?
Honestly, I haven't really thought about it. But like, maybe like what makes a classic, you know?
What makes a classic? Okay. Well, let's just say for now, the name of the segment is undecided. But
working title.
But basically in this, actually, you know what, Fabian, you want to maybe tell the listeners what this is going to be about?
Yeah, for sure. So as you probably know from either listening to the podcast or following Josh on Instagram, he picked up a pair of Forum Lows a few weeks ago or maybe like a month ago. And he was really, really surprised by, you know, how much he liked them and the quality. And that kind of inspired us to go through all of the classic silhouettes at most of the major sportswear brands and kind of talk a little bit of history, talk a little bit about why they were relevant, why they're still relevant, what makes them cool. And to kick it off, obviously, you know, Josh got the Forums. We're going to focus on Adidas this episode. Josh will be talking about the Forum. I will be talking a little bit about the Stan Smith, also another iconic sneaker. And then in following episodes, I think the next maybe 2, 3, 4 episodes will be will be around different brands. So that'll be Nike, you know, Reebok, Asics. And, you know, if you guys have any suggestions as to what brands we should cover, what shoes we should cover for these big sportswear brands, obviously hit us up on Instagram or on YouTube or, you know, just jump into our DMs wherever you can find us.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like Fabian said, we're going to start off the first episode of this classic series by talking about the shoe that kind of inspired the series, which is the Forum. And we'll also talk about, I believe, the Superstars. And in future episodes, of course, we're going to be talking about lots of the most popular models out there, because a lot of you guys are kind of new to the sneaker scene. So this is kind of giving you a bit of the history, what these silhouettes represent to the culture, and basically like the entire story of how they came into existence. So excited for that. But first, as usual, let's talk about latest pickups. Fabian, do you have a pickup?
I have two, actually, which I know is very, very rare for me because I usually have random stories about almost picking something up. So on a theme, I actually have a pair of brand new Stan Smiths, which I believe these are part of the new Adidas like sustainability line. So these are made with Prime Green, which is recycled materials. And it's part of, you know, Adidas's plan to like end or try to end plastic waste, obviously. you know, and that'll be impossible for any one brand. But yeah, it's basically the white and green classic Stan Smith in, you know, more sustainable materials. Obviously, all new product is not sustainable, but it's slightly more sustainable than, you know, completely unsustainable products. So that's one pickup. And then because we are doing Adidas, it had to be another Adidas shoe. And I got a pair of the Y340 runners.
Very nice.
If you know me, you know that I love 4D. Like, it's my favorite cushioning just because it looks so crazy. And I know it looks kind of shitty on some shoes, but it looks really good on the shoes that it looks good on. And I think this 4D runner is one of them. It's got this really cool kind of like mesh upper with like leather paneling, all black with, you know, Yoji Yamamoto's signature on the side. Overall, very, very solid shoe. It's also, it's heavy. It weighs a ton. So I'm one, like, you know, I'm excited to wear these on foot and walk around in them and see how it feels. But overall, super happy with this pickup.
Yeah, man, you are definitely Mr. Adidas for sure. Mr. 4D. Sure.
Mr. 4D, yes. Yeah.
What nice about pickups, you? What'd you man? Get? Nice pickups. Actually, today, since it is May the 4th, I noticed there was a Adidas Superstar Yoda that dropped today to commemorate Star Wars. Oh no, I didn't get that one. Actually, since you were talking about superstars,
I thought you got it. No, yeah, that one's also a really cool one. Yeah,
I was thinking of getting it for my girlfriend. Like, she is like obsessed with Yoda. Like, by far her favorite Disney character ever.
Yoda or Baby Yoda?
Not Disney. Why did I say Disney? I meant like Lucas. Well, I guess it is Disney, right?
Well, Disney owns it. Yeah,
Disney owns it. Right.
Yeah, but does she like Yoda or Baby Yoda?
No, she's a fan of like the old Yoda.
Okay. Yeah, she likes the OG.
The OG Yoda. Yeah. Although I will say I've been watching The Mandalorian lately, and I finished season one, and man, this show is so good.
It's good, right?
So good. Like, every episode is like a movie, pretty much. Like,
and it's so high production. Like,
oh yeah, it's really, insane. Really, like, it's really insane. Well done. Yeah. Oh yeah, if you're a Star Wars fan, like, you will love this show. Oh, but anyways, we're getting sidetracked. I also picked up two shoes. The first of which was, don't have it in my hands right now, but the Emilion d'Or 550s, mm-hmm. The second release. So
very
the
nice.
Colorway I picked up was the one that was exclusive to Emilion d'Or, which was a green and yellow upper. And I did a review on YouTube already. Just a big fan of the silhouette, man. It just looks so good with anything. And I've yet to see one person say that they don't like the 550 silhouette.
Actually,
like, it's a very...
I talked to someone and they like the way it looks, but they say that it's a very uncomfortable shoe.
I agree with it being uncomfortable. I don't know about very uncomfortable, but it is uncomfortable. And okay. and
is it just really stiff, or like,
yeah, it is very stiff. And like, for me, it's a sizing issue. Like, if I go with my true size, it kind of, I get a bit of heel slippage at the back, but the front of the shoe fits fine, but like the back of the shoe is like kind of loose. So
okay,
it fits weird. So yeah, but I mean, like, as far as looks go, it looks so nice. Like, any colorway on this silhouette,
it fits weird, but it looks nice. I was about to say, like, it's
exactly,
it's definitely a looker. Yeah.
And the Emilion d'Or ones, like, they kind of brought all the hype back to the silhouette. And then the second round of colorways, just as fire as the first, if not even more fire. And second shoe I picked up, I haven't even unboxed it. Like, literally, it's been sitting on my table. I literally have not opened this box. So
I don't even know what what is that? So for anyone not watching us, which is,
it's an orange box.
Is this Sakai's?
Oh man, good guess, man. Good guess.
But the purple ones or the...
No, it's actually it is the brown ones.
Better colorway for sure.
This colorway is better, right?
Yeah. I think it's almost, I would say probably the best colorway of the ones ever released so far.
What? No, man. I would say I don't know. This is the first time I'm seeing it in person. So it's actually, the materials are different.
Yeah, it's like a nylon upper.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that. It's nylon. It's not mesh.
Yeah.
So from a quality point of view, it's already better, because like the mesh, you know, it could rip, I guess.
Yeah.
But
no, nylon is definitely a lot more durable. And my buddy who picked up these, he has the black ones. Shout out Paul, if you're listening to this. I hope you are. And he says that these ones and the black ones for him are the two of the best colorways so far. And that they come with rope laces as well. They come with rope laces, which is pretty cool.
They do. They do. You're right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Cool. I definitely like the black ones the best. I own those personally, and those are just so fire. But overall, though, this silhouette, the Vapor Waffle, I personally preferred way more than the original Sakais. Like
the LD Waffle.
The LD Waffles, yeah. To me, these look crazier. These look, in my opinion, like just doper overall. And also, it's more comfy because it has a bit of zoom in the heel. So
okay.
It's a lot more comfier to wear. So for me, these are better than the OGs. I know a lot of people don't really agree, but I like this collab a lot more.
Okay. I mean, I know that they're more, I've heard that they're more comfortable, but for me, they're too massive. But I think if you're tall, which you are obviously, then it works because it kind of, the proportions of your body kind of match it. But for someone like me who, I'm like medium height, I would say, I think it would just look like I'm wearing two massive bricks on my feet, you know? So I can appreciate them, but they're not for me.
It's kind of like Nike's version of a Balenciaga Triple S kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right though. It does look very, very big on feet. But yeah, I'm a big fan of that shoe. So those are my two pickups there. So pretty good pickups actually this time around. So those are all the pickups. So why don't we just get into the main topic of today? So we're talking classics, guys. So you want to start off with the superstars, or should I start off with the forms?
Stan Smith, but
the Stan Smiths.
Let's go with the form, because that's the shoe that kind of inspired this whole thing. And then lay your knowledge on me. Like let me learn something.
Yeah. So actually, this was a good exercise for me too, because I didn't know a lot myself about the form. So I went and did a bit of research on the shoe. So the reason why I wanted to talk about the forms is because if you haven't noticed already, the forums right now are pretty popular. They're pretty hot. Like, I know a shoe is popular when I see the Instagram account Hidden New York, which you might know.
Mm-hmm.
When I see that shoe being retweeted so many times on Hidden New York, like, to me, that tells me, okay, like, this shoe is starting to get like some kind of cultural status now. And you can see why. Like, a lot of colorways just look super fire. I've been really kind of into the shoe, like the vintage vibe of the shoe, the quality also really good. So I wanted to just kind of look at the whole history of the shoe. And because I know that people who are into Adidas, they've been on this wave for a while now, and we're all just kind of late to it. So, basically the Adidas Forum, it was released in 84, they are called the Forum 84s. Taking it back to like the early 80s. So this was the era when Nike actually just launched the Air Force One around that time. And that was like the most popular shoe on the market pretty much at that time. And also there was another Nike shoe, the Nike Legend, which was the two most popular shoes that were selling the most in the early 80s. And Adidas, of course, was trying to compete with Nike. And what their strategy basically was, you know what, we're going to try to become the premium brand, you know? So they started releasing models in the late 70s and the early 80s that were a bit more higher in price. One of them was the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And that silhouette kind of does look similar to the Forum highs. And then in 1984, a French designer by the name of Jacques Chasson. I'm butchering this pronunciation, but apparently he's a legendary designer over at Adidas, and he was tasked with making the forums, and he is the designer of the forums. So 1984 is when we saw the release of this shoe, and it got a lot of attention for basically three reasons when the shoe first came out. So the first of which was the first two reasons are both visual reasons. So the first is there's an X on the side of the shoe. On the lateral side of the shoe, you can see like an X mark with the two leather straps. And basically what this X kind of represented was this designer, Jacques Chasson, he identified that point specifically where the X meets. That's apparently the weak spot of the ankle. So he wanted to design the shoe specifically for performance. It was meant for basketball players. So this was at least this is what they were kind of selling it, you know, like as, you know, like, okay, like we've got the weak spot of the ankle. That's what the X is for. But a lot of people just liked how it looked visually. So that's what kind of gave the shoe a lot of attention. It looked very different than other shoes that were around at the time. And the second visual aspect of the shoe was on the medial side of the shoe, you can see a little bit of webbing, which is kind of exposed right in the middle of the shoe. And that webbing is actually called a Dillinger web. I forget the name of the guy, but apparently
Dillinger, right?
Yeah, Dillinger. I think it was John Dillinger, or hold on, I have it right here. He was the coach of actually the Oregon Ducks, like the college the
university team.
The university team, right? And I have it right here. What's the name? Bill Dillinger. All right, I just wanted to get that name right, guys. Sorry for the delay there, but Bill Dillinger, he was the coach of the Oregon Ducks track and field team, and he had a big part to play also in the design of this shoe. Because that web that you see on the form is actually called Dillinger web. It was a technology that Dillinger built. And the whole purpose of this web is that it absorbs 10% of the shock of the shoe. At least that's what it's supposed to do. And instead of the shock basically going into the foot, it basically disperses outside into this webbing. So it kind of absorbs the shock more, like for performance athletes. So this was kind of like the big, like, revolutionary technology about this shoe, which was being marketed. So yeah. And then the third and the most actual, like, notable thing about the shoe, and the thing that people remember the most about this shoe, was that they retailed for $100. So at the time in 1984, there was no other shoe that retailed for $100. In fact, at the time, the Adidas Forum was the most expensive basketball shoe ever to release. Mm-hmm. So it was $100. And at the time, Nike sneakers were all going for around $60, $65. So this was the first ever $100 shoe. And back in 1984, that was a really big deal to pay $100 for a pair of shoes.
It's like a status symbol, like, you know, like exactly. Back then. Yeah.
Back then it was a huge, huge status symbol. Like nowadays, if someone came out with a shoe that's like $300, like, it's not that big a deal. Like, people always, you know, like, kind of expecting prices to go up. But back then, to see triple digits on a shoe, it was a huge deal. So that's kind of what people remember the most about the Adidas Forum. It was the most expensive basketball shoe ever made. One of the first famous people to actually wear them was, in fact, Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan, before he signed his Nike deal, he was trying out for the Olympics, the men's basketball team. And he actually tried out in a pair of Adidas Forums, and there's many pictures of him actually wearing these shoes. And I don't know if you guys have read the whole background about Michael Jordan, but he, coming out of college, he was determined to sign with Adidas. He did not want to sign with Nike. Nike was actually like his third option. So, like, because at the time, Adidas was like the number one shoe brand, at least in basketball. So I know now it's like so difficult to even think of Mike in a pair of in the three stripes, but back then he really wanted to be a part of Adidas. So the shoe kind of became like a status symbol, like you already mentioned, because everyone kind of wanted to wear, you know, like, I own $100 pair of shoes. It's definitely a status symbol. So back then, a lot of the more like prestigious, kind of like the wealthier people in society were kind of wearing it. It became like a status symbol. And then later on, as the shoe got more popular, we saw the mid version come out. We saw the low version come out in the 90s. And then kind of the popularity of the shoe kind of just, I don't know, fizzled out, kind of died out. We didn't hear a whole lot from the forums. Of course, they were still releasing, but they weren't really that popular throughout the 90s and the early 2000s. And then in the early 2000s and the mid 2000s, there were some kind of pretty hype collabs to drop with the Forum. The first of which was with Jeremy Scott. It was called the Adidas Forum Money. And basically, if you guys just look this up, it's literally an Adidas Forum with like money print all over it. And there were only 100 pairs made, and they, at the time, this was before sneaker reselling was even a thing. At the time, they were reselling for over $7,000 in 2002. So So that kind of like brought some hype back into the model. There weren't many other collabs, or pretty much for the rest of the 2000s and 2010 and later, we didn't hear much about this silhouette, but it seems like this year, 2021, this silhouette seems to be the primary focus from Adidas, besides, of course, Yeezy brand. From the main classics line, it seems like the Forum is really the model that Adidas is putting a lot of emphasis on. We've seen so many like super hype collabs already, the first of which was with Bad Bunny, which two collabs with him, and both of them reselling for ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous amounts of money, especially in Latin America. They're going for absurd prices. We also saw a collab with Beyonce, which was interesting. And there's supposed to be a lot more collabs coming up this
definitely.
Year.
Definitely. I mean, the Forum is like definitely one of their big focuses. They've done a bunch of like friends and family releases with retailers such as Sivas Descalzo, Beeston, and I forget who else, but the Forum, both high and low, are going to be a big, big focus. I don't know why now, like why in 2021, because it's like a weird anniversary. But they're definitely pushing it really hard.
Bodega also had a collab. True, yeah. A friends and family collab. What I have noticed, and this is kind of becoming a trend, at least in my Instagram algorithm, is I'm seeing a lot of pictures of people buying either the highs or the lows and actually cutting off the strap.
Yeah.
Which, at least in my opinion, I think it looks way better without the strap. Especially the low tops. The low tops, I think, look so much better without the strap.
It's weird. Why would you have a strap on a low top? You know what? I get it on the high top, because even the Air Force One high top has a strap in the mid, right? But the low doesn't. And like everyone I talk to says that like it's actually it is a cool sneaker, but it might in terms of the low top, it has like a little bit too much going on. And if you take the strap off, it makes it even better, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. No, the strap is completely unnecessary. And I think it was, I think they kind of, that's a bit of a misstep, I think, from Adidas to include the strap, because it's a much better shoe without the strap.
I agree.
But yeah, that's pretty much the history that I could find about the Adidas Forum. And
it's interesting.
Yeah, they're definitely pretty interesting.
The 80s you were talking about, like the Dillinger webbing or whatever that was. It's funny because, or like, you know, that it absorbed like 10% of the shock and all this stuff that was probably like 99% bullshit, like marketing stuff back then, right? Because like how does like webbing absorbs shock? But it's funny because the 80s were like a boom in technology, you know, like in sneakers, at least. Like you look at the 70s and the 60s and you had like really, really basic shoes. You had like Chucks and you know, people were playing basketball in Chucks. And then, you know, along came Nike with the Air Force line, and then you have you know, the Forum. So I think the Forum really came at like a pivotal moment in kind of basketball sneaker technology, where like everyone was like really, really like all brands were like trying to push as much technology into shoes as possible. And I think the guy that you mentioned who designed the shoe, if I remember correctly, he's also one of the guys that was in charge of the Adidas ZX line.
Yeah,
he developed the torsion bar, right? But for the shoes, I don't know if the Forum already had the torsion bar or if that, I think it came later in the late 80s. But I mean, it just, you know, it speaks volumes that such like a legendary Adidas designer had his hand in that shoe, you know? And I think that's why it's kind of lasted the test of time and is popular again today. Obviously, because Adidas is pushing it, there's marketing, but people wouldn't buy it if they didn't like it, right?
Yeah, I think they decided to release it this year. I think the timing was good because I think retro like 80s types of sneakers are kind of really back in again. You know, like Nike started bringing back like the waffles and the LDVs. You know, like I think there's just like a appetite right now for those type of retro models. So I think it was good timing. Clearly, I mean, it's proving to be quite popular. Even GR colorways are selling out everywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the colorways they've done are pretty good too. Like the all white or like cream white ones that you have are pretty tasteful. And then I really like the white and green and the white and blue. They're just like these kind of old school, very simple, like college colorways. And I think those combine really well with like what people are wearing at the moment as well. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cool. So then that was the Adidas Forum. Let's move to the Stan Smith, I guess. And this one is, I would say, probably one of Adidas's best selling sneakers of all time. The funny thing is, though, and I'm going to butcher this name as well because it's French. The shoe was not always called Stan Smith. It was originally called the Robert Haile, which was a French. Yeah, it's Haillet. Anyway, he was a French tennis professional back in the 60s, 70s. And the Stan Smith back then, called the Robert Haile, was one of the first, or I think the first, leather tennis shoe. Back then, tennis shoes were all canvas or, you know, other materials that weren't as durable. And people found that tennis shoes, because of the, you know, the rough clay surface or the hard court, they were being worn out way too quickly. And so the son of the actual original Adidas founder, so the original Adidas founder is Adi Dassler, which is where Adidas comes from. His son Horst, which is one of the most German names ever, like super German. It was his idea basically to launch a leather tennis shoe. And he wanted one that was, you know, sturdy and lasted longer. And so he basically developed the Stan Smith, aka the Robert Haye. It came out in the 60s and 70s. And I think it was in 66, 67 that it came out. And back when it came out, a bunch of like tennis professionals all agreed that the Stan Smith was the best shoe on the market at the time. You know, the leather was way sturdier than anything out there. And this was the 70s where, you know, like I said, it was before the boom in technology in the 80s. So the shoe was a lot simpler, but just that simple change in material made it so much better on the court. And Robert Haye was chosen as the ambassador for the shoe. So it, you know, got his name because that's what Adidas did back then. They had Rod Laver. They had a bunch of other players under contract and each one had a shoe and it was named after them, you know, obviously just like the Air Jordan. And the problem there was, though, that he retired in 1971. And in 1968 was when pro tennis really started taking off. You know, the Wimbledon, French Open, Australian Open, US Open, they were all, it like the open era started. Those four big tournaments in 68, and he retired only 3 years later. So basically Adidas had this great shoe, which was the best shoe on the market, but the guy whose name was on the shoe wasn't playing anymore in the early 70s. So they needed a new active player to endorse the model. And Stan Smith was an up-and-coming American tennis player at the time. He wasn't, you know, best in the world yet, but he was winning some tournaments. He was winning some big games. He was a big guy. He's 6'4", or was back then. And his agent actually suggested to Adidas, like, hey, what about Stan Smith? He could endorse the shoe, right? So, you know, he was the next big thing. And for Adidas, it was a way to get into the American tennis market as well by getting a big up-and-coming American athlete. So they signed a deal with Stan Smith. And what he liked about the deal, or what made him sign with Adidas, was the fact that he got an individual endorsement contract and basically securing the bag. They gave him a great contract, which made him one of their premier athletes. And so he played in it from, I guess it was like early 70s, like 72, 73, something like that, until 78. And by then, you know, Robert Haye had been retired for 7 years. So Adidas decided to change the name to the Stan Smith. And that was when his career was also really taking off. He started winning tournaments, was number one in the world. And so with his popularity and his standing in the game, the Stan Smith, now named after him, really took off. But then what happened shortly after that was that, like I said, performance was on a whole nother level in the 80s. So the Stan Smith wasn't as popular on the court anymore, but because of Stan Smith, the player, being this, you know, bigger than life guy, like huge, he filled rooms and he was really good at tennis. People started wearing the Stan Smith as a fashion shoe, right? It was very simple. It was very fashionable. You could wear it with anything, classic white leather with, you know, green colorway, red colorway, blue colorway. It was just like touches on the heel. So, basically Stan Smith made it big in the 70s, early 80s. And then it kind of became more of this kind of easy lifestyle shoe. And apparently, according to figures that I found, 22 million pairs had been sold in 1988, which is a crazy amount for back then, right?
Amount.
For like one shoe.
That's crazy, actually.
Right? Like 22 million pairs of one shoe. And then in 1994, that figure was around 23.7 million. So they had sold around 1.7 million shoes from 88 to 94. Which, you know, if you're comparing it to today's world is nuts, because they produced a lot less. There were a lot less customers out there, a lot less sneakerheads. And then, you know, in the early 90s, early 2000s, it kind of disappeared a little bit. It just kind of became a shoe that, you know, everybody kind of wore because it was so simple and so casually fashionable, I guess. But then in the 2010s, the shoe started becoming a lot more popular. J. Crew started stocking it. Phoebe Philo from Celine was wearing it on her runway shows. But the problem was that as the fashion crowd was embracing the shoe, Adidas found that obviously because it was already a pretty basic and like highly produced shoe, it was found on sales sections, in clearance racks, that kind of stuff. And so Adidas made the bold choice in, I think it was like 2012 or 2013, to stop selling the Stan Smith. They stopped all production of the shoe. They pulled it from stores and they're like, you know what? We need to like create scarcity and create a need for the shoe. So this goes back to like the whole feeding the hype machine, right? And all of a sudden a shoe that was super widely available wasn't anymore, right? And that was all part of the plan. You know, the plan was to re-release the shoe a few years later with a big bang. And the Stan Smith was reintroduced in 2014. And you had celebrities like Pharrell, you know, get these big seating packages with personalized Stan Smiths. It saw a shift in the strategy where the Stan Smith wasn't sold in just Foot Lockers anymore, but it was sold in sneaker boutiques. It was sold at iconic stores such as Colette, but still with that sub $100 price tag. So it was affordable, but you could find it in cool stores alongside cool brands, alongside cool pieces of clothing, whatever. And then, you know, slowly the collaborations came, as you said, as well with the Forum in the 2000s, you had, you know, Raf Simons being the most notable one. Raf had his own, like Stan Smith with the R, the perforated R on the side. Y3 also had its own version. And then obviously, you know, they started putting Boost in the sole. They put Primeknit on the upper. This was around the time where Boost was put into every single shoe. I don't know if you remember that. Like,
yeah, I remember.
You couldn't buy a shoe without Boost, or like you could get like a Superstar and then you could get a Superstar Boost version or a Stan Smith Boost version. And so that kind of pushed them back into the limelight, and it was a really concerted push. And by 2014, nearly 40 million pairs of the Stan Smith had been sold, which is insane.
In 1 year?
No. By 2014. Oh, okay, so like okay. In 88, it was around 22 million pairs. And then in 2014, it was 40 million pairs.
Okay.
And then in 2016, apparently that figure was 50 million. So they sold 10 million over 2 years, which is insane.
Yeah.
And then, you know, today you can pick up a Stan Smith wherever, and it's still in stores. You can buy it at high-end kind of boutiques. You can buy it in sneaker specialty stores. You can buy it at Foot Locker. And it's all because they made the decision to pull the stock, create like fake hype for it, and then re-release it around 5-6 years ago. And that's what makes the Stan Smith an icon, I guess, because it's been around for like 50-60 years and it's still really popular.
I had no idea it was from the 60s. Like that's actually insane. And you know what? It's good that they decided to switch the name, because I don't think Pharrell would have been too happy, you know, to get a pair of like Robert Hailes or whatever they were called.
Dude, you can pronounce it better than me, man. I should have like listened to like some sort of, you know, like how you can like sometimes make the computer say the word. I should have done that, because I'm butchering it. But yeah, I definitely. And also, like, why would you name a shoe after a guy after he's retired? You know, they should have just switched it to Stan Smith straight away. But they made the right call in the end, and Stan Smith is forever an icon. I think there was actually a few years ago, like Rizzoli released a book that was called People Think I'm a Shoe. And it was a book about Stan Smith, and people like Smith would like, Stan Smith was like, the shoe is more famous than I am. Like that's how big the Stan Smith got, that people, when you say Stan Smith, people think of the shoe. They don't think of the tennis player, even though he was super successful in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, it is. Sorry. It is true though. Like I don't know anything about Stan Smith, the player. And it's interesting that they decided, if they switched the name once, you know, like I would think they would maybe switch it again, like since, you know, he used to play in the 60s or 70s and it doesn't really, you know, ring any bells with the younger audiences right now. So, but they decided to keep the name.
Yeah, I think it was a good call as well, because, you know, it got phased out in the 80s anyway, because more like technologically advanced shoes came onto the market. But, yeah, it would have been weird to like continue it if nobody was wearing it. And yeah, in the end, I think very, very solid shoe. You can't really say anything about like a, this is why classics are classics, right? Because a lot of them are kind of like white leather shoes that look good with everything. You know what I mean? Like the Forum looks good with any type of pants you wear, right? Unless you're wearing spandex or something like that.
That is very also, true though.
The Air Force One, what else? Like any Reebok classic, doesn't matter what pants you wear, what shorts, whatever, they always look good, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely Stan Smith's. Yeah, it's one of those, man. You just can't go wrong with those.
So yeah, and that's the Stan Smith and the Forum story. So
thank you guys for listening to that, and give us some feedback maybe on what other types of shoes you would like to see, and what other models specifically you want us to kind of deep dive into. We'd be glad to look into it. This first episode was definitely dedicated to Adidas.
Know what brand as well next time. Like I think up in the air is ASICS, New Balance, Nike, obviously Reebok,
Puma.
Puma maybe at some point.
Yeah, definitely. That's about it for the segment. Let's move on to the last bit of every pod that we do, which is upcoming drops over the next 2 weeks. I have a couple for the next 2 weeks. So there is on May the 8th, there's going to be this SB Dunk Low dropping, the Stingwater Nike SB Dunk Low. Which the shoe is being called the Magic Mushrooms, and it's the mushroom inspiration is heavy on this shoe. I mean, it's got the colors of a mushroom. It has a picture of mushrooms on the tongue. Also, the tongue has a secret stash pocket where you're supposed to actually stash your mushrooms, according to.
And the lining is also inspired by mushrooms, right? Like the inside of the shoe.
Yeah, the inside of the shoe as well. Yeah, definitely. And there's a bunch of like weird like writing and text all over the shoe, which sounds like, you know, stoner speak, so to speak. I don't know if I would wear this shoe. It's definitely like exactly what Nike SB Dunks are all about though. Like they'll take a concept and they'll just go absolutely crazy with it. Kind of like what they did here. So that one looking to drop on May the 8th. And then we also have, another dunk. This is on May the 15th. This is another SB Dunk, actually, the TV Signal. Which I think is a super interesting shoe. So,
is that a high top or a low?
It's a high top. So, So, like, I don't know if you remember, but like, you remember back in the day, like when you used to, you know, flip through the channels, and sometimes like you can't find a channel. All you see are these like colors on the screen, and like that sound, like the,
yeah,
you know, yeah. So that's kind of exactly what this shoe is inspired by. So it has like those same colors. Like all over the shoe pretty much, and it's kind of keeping with their theme of SB's theme recently, which is like to be inspired by these old devices, because they recently also came out with the Dunk SB camcorder, which is by like a old school video camera, and same now with like an old school TV. So that's another pretty interesting shoe. So once again, the dunks don't stop. The dunks are coming in hot and heavy over the next couple of weeks too.
Yeah. So actually, I just saw that the Magic Mushroom, it drops on the 8th in Europe, but the 10th in the US. For some reason. So like if you're depending on where you are, if you're looking to pick it up, just note down those dates. I guess, do you have any others or is it just those two?
Over the next 2 weeks. Oh, there's also the Jordan 1 Shadow 2.0, which is interesting. I'm a huge fan of the Jordan 1 Shadows. I would say it's potentially the most wearable Jordan 1 colorway there is. Like you can literally
100%.
You can wear it with anything, absolutely anything. And it's probably the most beater Jordan 1 you can probably wear, you know. And now they're making a 2.0 version, which kind of looks like a reverse shadow, really. Like the gray is
they
on
just
the
flipped it. Yeah.
Pretty much a flip. Yeah, exactly. I like the colorway. It's not bad. I definitely don't think it compares with the OGs though. But it's like it's nice. It's a pretty wearable Jordan 1. I'm kind of like fatigued with Jordan 1 colorways, to be honest, at this point. So it's kind of a pass for me, but it's a nice colorway.
For sure. I think a lot of people will appreciate it just because, like you said, it's super, super wearable, super easy to style with things. And, you know, you can't really go wrong with a black and gray shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, from my end, I have a couple. Actually, I just saw that the Air Jordan 1 KO Chicago is coming out on May 12th as well, in the US at least.
Yeah. What do you think about that one?
I mean, I think I'm not a huge fan of it just because I think it looks weird in canvas, but I like the story behind it, which is that, you know, it was one of the original shoes, or like I think it originally released, I think also in 85. And nobody really knows what KO stands for. Some people think that it stands for knockout. Nobody really knows for sure. So I think like the mystery around that is pretty cool. It's a Chicago colorway, pretty classic. Can't really go wrong with that either. But yeah, you kind of have to be aware that it is a little bit different than the normal leather Air Jordan ones. It's got like no heel panel on the back, so it looks a little different too. I don't know. It's not a must for me. What about you?
No, I don't like the shoe at all, man. I think if you like Jordan 1s, you see this and you're just like, man, like why are there so many different variations of Jordan 1s? Like, you know, like Jordan Brand has done this before. They dropped, I think they were called the Rebels, which which had like laces that kind of, you know, went down and then around the shoe.
Oh, those were the women's ones, right?
Yeah. Like, oh man, that was so weird. I also saw some Jordan 1s that had like a zipper instead of laces.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so many variations. And I understand, I appreciate the whole history though about this shoe. So it's interesting for like the collectors. But yeah, like big pass for me. I typically really don't even like shoes that have canvas material because it tends to get dirty really quickly.
And it creases weird too.
Like, yeah, it creases weird too. So this one is like the easy pass.
So I just saw that one. But my two that I'm really looking forward to is the Reebok Kottweiler Zig 3D Storm Hydro. If you guys remember, right, like the all black, when I saw the Zig 3D Storm Hydro in all black, I immediately dubbed it, you know, the shoe of the year for me already. Oh,
but it's out already in Europe.
Yeah. So the all black one is, and then this one is a collaboration with Kottweiler, which is a brand that Reebok has done some fashion collaborations with in the past. And they have this really nice colorway. It's this kind of like gray brown with like a white base and yellow accents and orange a little bit. Just really, really nice. Like, first of all, the shoe is amazing. And second of all, the colorway on it is just like really fresh and like a little lighter than the all black. Cause I find all black shoes really hard to wear just cause I feel like the details get lost a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to this one. This one drops in 10 days. So on the 14th, I think, of May.
I'm actually seeing May the 7th on at least on Soulbox. It's releasing May the 7th.
This is the annoying thing because Sneakers and Stuff has it in for 10 days from now. But yeah.
Oh wow, this colorway is super nice.
Right?
Yeah. That's dope. Oh wow, man. This is a great colorway. Yeah, like you guys should check it out. Kottweiler, Reebok, Zig 3D Storm. Reebok yeah. Boys in the house.
It's dropping in two colorways. There's a darker one and a lighter one. Both of them are really nice. I prefer the lighter one personally. And then the other shoe that I'm looking forward to, just from a, you know, like spectator point of view, is the, and I know, you know, like you're gonna make fun of me, but I know I say dunks are dead, but this one is, have you seen the lemon dunk? Like the lemon dunk low?
Citrus. Oh, lemon. I think they're called the citrus, right? Or
yeah, or like lemon drop or something like that.
Oh yeah, right. The lemon drop. You're
they've
right.
They've got like right. this little lemon on yeah, the heel yeah. and they've got this, it's like a white leather base, which looks really nice, like a pebbled leather. And then they've got this like almost like brown beige kind of paneling with a lime or a lemon yellow swoosh and then a lemon embroidered on the heel.
Yeah, that's I can see it.
A really, really nice shoe. So those are the two that I'm looking forward to most in the next 1 to 2 weeks.
Is the lemon drop actually releasing in the next 2 weeks? Oh, right. You're right. May the 14th. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow, man. This shoe is really, really nice, man. Actually, this colorway is very similar to the Reebok one we were just looking at.
Exactly. So I think maybe that's why I like
you the have one a type. Is,
I have a lemon. I'm a big fan of lemons. no, but yeah, these are both dropping within the next 2 weeks at, you know, your local retailers and obviously online. And I might have to break my dunk hiatus on these lemon drops for sure.
Well, hopefully you can, I'll try to, since you really want them, man, I'll try to enter raffles in your size, see if I can cop it for you for retail.
Oh, that'd be sick. Yeah. That'd be really cool. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
homies,
man.
Homies help homies. Support.
Yeah, dude, if there's a shoe you want, like I'll definitely try to get it for you in your size.
Nice with your 15 devices.
Yeah, man, I got lots of devices. Actually, you know what, man, we should leave this conversation for another pod, but like I've started to look into raffle bots.
Oh, okay. Yeah just... we could talk about how they work and that kind of stuff in another episode. We don't want to give away all our secrets.
No yet. But like to be continued.
Definitely.
The raffle JD tries raffle bots.
We just do like an investigative episode or something like that.
Yeah right. But yeah,
all right,
but
yeah, I mean that's it from my end. I don't know if you have anything else.
No, that's it for this episode. Thank you guys, man, so much. Look for it on, once again, you already know where it is, wherever your podcasts are available. Make sure you just share it with anyone who you think will be into this type of content, into sneaker content. Make sure you just share with them. It really helps us out. And of course, give us a review on Apple Music. That would be really, really beneficial. So sure. Yeah, thank Five you guys. Stars. Thank you guys once again. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Peace.